The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are Parashas Behar Bechukesai. Last week, in Parshas Emor, we spoke about the Korban Todah, which is mentioned in Parshas Emor, and we said that we would continue, which I would like to do this evening. But first, let's just get a review, a concise review of what we spoke about last week. In Parshas Emor, in Chov Beis, Perek Chov Beis, Pasuk Chov Tes, it states, "V'chisis b'chuzevak todah l'Hashem." If a person will bring a sacrifice of a thanksgiving offering to Hashem, then it should be in accordance to the halachos which the Torah lays down. And then in Parshat Tzav, in Zayin, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So when the Torah starts to explain to us the Korban Shlomim, the first of the Shlomim is the Korban Todah. It states, "V'zeis Teira Zevach HaShlomim." These are the laws of the Shlomim. Asher Yakriv Lashem, we mentioned there were four categories of korbanos, of sacrifices, the Ole, the Chatas, the Oshim, and the Shlomim. And Imal Teda Yakrivenu, V'hikriv Al-Zevach HaToda, if it's going to be a thanksgiving offering, which is part of the category of the Shlomim, then you should bring it. And the Torah there tells us that you should bring it with four types of chalais, four types of breads. Three types of matzah and one chometz, and in each of the types there should be 10. So this means of the three different types of matzahs there were 10 each, and then of the chometz there was 10 each. And the animal was sacrificed, and a certain portion of the animal, these are the fats, the emurin, chelev, was burnt on the mizbeach, burnt on the altar. Another portion of the animal, the chos v'sheik, was given to the kahanim, which was as customary in the shlomim. In addition, one of each type of the chalas, that means one of each type of the matzahs and one of the chalas of chometz, were also given to the Kohen. And then the remaining parts were eaten by the Bailim, the owner, and his family in Yushalayim. And this was the custom with the Korban Shlomim. Rashi brings in Parshas Tzav that who had to bring the thanksgiving offering. And he brings from the Gemara in Berachas, Daf Nun Dalet, Dalet Srichin Lahedes. There were four that had to bring a thanksgiving offering. And this was learned from a Pasuk in Tilim, a number of Psukim, which is in Perek Kuf Zayin, Pasuk Chof Aleph, it begins with, "Yedu Lashem Chazdoi V'Niflaisav Livnei Odom," that you shall praise, you shall make known to Hashem his chesed, his kindliness, and his wonders to the people. V'yizbuchu zevach todah, and you should bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. V'yizpru ma'isav berino, and you shall declare his deeds with great joy. And the four were the holchei midbores, the yodei hayam, those that crossed the deserts, those that crossed the sea. chelish in Israpa, a person who was very sick and he became cured, and chobush bebeis ha'asurim, someone who was a captive by hostile people. And the Gemara in Brachos brings that the Chachomim enacted that in these four cases also we bench gemel. Where there is a minyan, we usually do it at Kriyas HaTorah, so then we make the birchas, the customary birchas HaGomel, in one of those four cases. And then we asked, why was this from the Korban Shlomim, and why was this the first of the Shlomim? It seems to have been given a great deal of importance. And secondly, what was the explanation of these four cases where you bring the Korban Todah? And thirdly, what was the significance of the 40 breads that would be brought with the Korban Todah? 30 were various types of matzahs, and then the fourth group, which was 10 of chometz. And on those we had time to explain. And very concisely, we said, this is all from the Maral Miprag in his Drush, the Shabbos HaGodol, where these four cases of the Holchei Midbores, Yorde Hayam, those that crossed the sea, that crossed the desert, these encompass all of the dangers of the world. When a person goes through the desert, so he's placing himself in a situation where he's totally in jeopardy and at mercy of the nature. In particular, though, what is it? He places himself in a where there's total voidness of lechem and mayim, bread and food, and bread and drink. And therefore, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes him out of it, he has to give thanks. When a person goes through the sea, again, he's placing himself totally at the mercy of the nature, in jeopardy. Also, he's placing himself where he's totally engulfed in danger. But here, it's not from a voidness of everything that he needs, but rather from the positive forces of the waters. And the forces of the water want to crush his boat. Thirdly, when he's sick and he has a refuah shleima, so again, he's at the mercy of a disease. But here it's not coming from external forces, rather it's coming internally from he himself. The disease is in his body, and it's threatening, it's life-threatening. And therefore, when he's free from that, he needs to give thanks. Fourthly, the Chovish Bein HaAsurim, those who are in the hands of hostile people, this is different than the first three, from two aspects. The first three, the threat was from the nature, the sea, the desert, the disease. Well, here the threat is from a human being. Secondly, the first three, since it's from the threat of a nature, nature has its gvulim, it has its limitations. But where you're threatened by man has no limitation. So therefore you're at his mercy from all three of the above. He can kill his captive with a sword, which would be similar to an external force, like the oceans. He could kill his captive by starving him, which would be similar to the desert. He could kill his captain with disease by placing him in a dungeon where he could catch pneumonia or something, or place him outside in the sun. And that's what the Gemara brings, that pidyon shvuyim, to redeem someone who's a captive, this is from the greatest mitzvahs, because kuli isbuhu. All of these dangers are there. And this is the power of the ra, the evil in the person. And we see from here that the power of the evil in the person is unlimited, not like the nature, where nature has its limitations. Therefore, the significance of the 40 loaves that you bring is the Chazal always tell us that the matzah represents a Yetzer Tov, or something which is free from the Yetzer Hara, rather. And the Chometz represents Asor Shebi Isra, the sourdough in the batter, something represents the evil in the person. So you bring the three different types of matzahs, which represent, or which correlates with the three different types of dangers. But there is no Yetzer Hara, there's no evil in that. The ocean is doing what it was created for, and so is the desert, so is the disease. And the chometz, that is brought, that correlates with the chovesh, the one who has captured him. Because what he is doing to his captive, this comes from the keach hara, from the evil that's in him, because he has the right to choose between right and evil. And therefore we bring chometz. And then we said that why is it a korban shlomim? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you out of these dangers, and we said these dangers represent basically all the dangers that a person can find himself in, this is showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's al hakol, that he's higher than everything in the world. Because one might think, there's many that do, that the forces of nature or the forces of man are greater than the forces of Hashem. They work independently, and he has no control over them. The idolaters, they serve, they recognize independent forces. And this is not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelet al hakol, he rules over everything, including the great forces in the world. And not only that, he created them. And not only that, therefore they're part of his creation. So they are all part of the Seder HaBriah, the order of the creation. And this shows that the world is not made up of many masters, or it's not made up of many forces, but rather it's one. And it shows the oneness of Hashem. And that's what Shalom is. Shalom is when there is a oneness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the oneness. The Medrash brings that Shalom represents Hakol, represents everything, it encompasses everything. It's the perfection and harmony of the whole B'riah. So when someone has gone through this, then he has to praise Hashem, and he praises Hashem with a Korban Shlomim. And actually, the Korban Shlomim, the Chazal tell us, in the simple reason, why was it called Shlomim? Because with all of the other sacrifices, sometimes only a portion, a portion was sometimes limited to the Mizbeach, to the altar. But the Kahanim would not eat from it, or the owners would not. Sometimes it was, the portion was given to the Mizbeach, to the altar, and to the Kahanim. But by the Shlomim, the portions were given to all three. So therefore it was all encompassing. This is what we spoke about last week. Then we added a question, but we didn't have time to answer it. And we said, please God, we will try to give the explanation this evening also in accordance to the explanation of the Maral. And that was, it's very strange though, that this sacrifice should have chometz in it at all. Because in Parshas Vayikra, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kol HaMincha Asher Takrivu LaHashem, every grain offering which you bring to Hashem, Leisei Oseh Chometz, you shall not make from it chometz, leavened breads. Ki Kol Se'or V'chol Devash Leisaktiru Mimenu Ish LaHashem. All Se'or. Se'or is sourdough. That is, I don't know if they use it today. Maybe in the bakeries they do. But what they did not too long ago, and they would always do, is that when they made bread, they would take, how do you make bread? You take grain, and it can be made, bread can be made from wheat, from barley, from rye, from oats, from spelt. You take grain, and you mill it. And you mill it into flour. Then you mix it with water, and you knead it. into dough. Now, if you bake it immediately, then it'll be unleavened bread, it'll be matzah. But if you leave it the way it is, for a certain amount of time, then it'll rise. This rising is a leavening process. This is the chometz. And then if you bake it, you'll have bread. Now, in order to give it a good rising, which should be a good bread, so it needs some help. So what they used to do is, after they made chometz, the dough, they would take a piece of that dough and they would set it aside and wouldn't bake it. And they leave it stand for a long time. And it would become very acidy. It would become so acidy that it was totally unedible. And this was called sourdough. And this is what the Torah refers to in many places, se'or. And then when they would bake further bread, so they would take a piece of that sourdough and put it in the dough that they're baking, and that would act as an agent to cause it to rise in a very, very good fashion. So this was the expression, the se'or should be iso. Iso means the dough, and the se'or was the sourdough. And the Torah tells us, for example, by Pesach, kol chametz le'seichel v'kol se'or le'seichel. We're not allowed to eat any chametz. That's where it's leavened and it's edible. And we're not allowed to use any se'or or to own any se'or. That's the sourdough, even though that, in fact, is unedible. Again, I don't know if they if they do that today, if they still use it. Maybe the bakeries do it. Today, housewives will bake bread with yeast. Yeast is actually not a sourdough. It's actually a bacteria, I believe. But this was the sourdough. So the Torah tells us, it says, kol amincha asher takriv l'Hashem l'ose chometz kol ki kol se'or v'chol dvash l'isaktir v'men ish l'Hashem. Any grain offering that you bring as a fact sacrifice. And when we brought a grain offering, a mincha, so a portion was taken off of it that was called the kmitzo, and that was burnt on the mizbeach, on the altar. So it states that cannot be, under any circumstances, se'or, the sourdough, or chometz. So it's very strange that here by the Kodem Todah, the Torah said that 10 of these loaves have to be chometz, when all of the time, the menoches, the grain offerings, the meal offerings, were always baked into matzah. Now, the Korban Todah didn't transgress this law, because the Torah said you can't burn it on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Here, the 10 loaves of chometz did not go on the altar, nor any part of them went on the altar. But still, it is somewhat of a wonder that all the time the Torah was very, very strict in that chometz shouldn't be a part of any korban, of any sacrifices. It was marchik, distant, the chometz and the sourdough from the altar. And here the Torah required it. The second question is, there's only one other place where the Torah required that the chometz should be part of the sacrifice. Again, though, it didn't go on the altar, but it came with that which went on the altar. And that was on Shavuos, the Shtei Atzeres. the Shtei Alechem that came with the Shtei Atzeres. What was the case? On Pesach, we were commanded, the day after Pesach, on the Ketziras HaOmer, the cutting of the Omer. The first day after this Pesach, the second day of Pesach, so the Beis Din would go out to the fields. And this was the time of the first crop of the se'orin, of the barley, which would be generally in April. In the northern hemisphere, and in April is the springtime. And the first crops would come up. And the barley was a crop which was a tougher crop, so it would come up earlier. So the Beis Din would go out, and they would cut a measure of that crop, and that was what we are commanded is Ktsiras HaOmer, the cutting of the Omer. And then a grain offering, a meal offering from this was offered. And then the Torah tells us that we should count 7 weeks of 7 days, 49 days, and this was the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, of counting the Omer. And then on the 50th day, after the 49, the 15th day, Mikra Kodesh Yelochem, declare it as a Yantif, and that was the Yantif of Shavuos, and that Yantif was the anniversary of Matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah. And there we should bring another meal offering, but this time it was the first crops of the wheat. On Shavuos time in Eretz Yisrael, this is already in the summer, and the weather is much more hot, and the wheat, which was not such a ruddy plant, had come out, so there was the Bikurei Chitin, the first plant of the wheat, and that was brought as a meal offering on Shavuos. Now, how was that brought? We were commanded to bring the Kiftzei Atzeres. These were sheep. Atzeres refers to Shavuos, and this was Shlomim, Shalmei Tzibur. It was a Shlomim of the whole Tzibur, of the whole community. And together with it, Shtei Alechem, two loaves. This was made from the new crop of the wheat. Now, what was the great Chiddush, though? What was so unique? These two lachmei atzeres had to be chometz. So here again was the exception to the rule. Excuse me. That even though the Torah rejected any chometz from coming on the Mizbeach or even near the Mizbeach, near the altar, there were two exceptions when they were allowed to come at least near, at least part of the Korban, and that was on Shavuos. That was the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves. Incidentally, what was done with that? That was given to the Kohanim to eat. Or the Korban Todah, in which 10 loaves were chometz. So here we have a question. Why do we find the exception here, these exceptions? And why do we find them at both by the Korban Todah and the Korban sacrifice that came on Shavuos? The Maral says as follows. The sages tell us that the Yetzer Hara, the power of evil that Hashem gave to the person, is not just evil, but it's kulara. It's the ultimate in evil. What is their source? They have a number of sources. In Parshas Neach, Per Ches Posuk Chof Aleph, it states, Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'Odem Ra Min Urav. It says, Korei Se Ra. The Torah itself calls it Ra, evil. It states that the heart of man is evil from his youngest days. And here the sages learn that the Yetzer Hara goes into the person, Mishaminor, Mimei Imai, from the instant he leaves the womb of his mother to come into the air of this world, the Yetzer Hara goes into him. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he won't destroy the world anymore, because man was created with this enormous evil force. Or another posuk, it states in Bereishis Vav, posuk A, V'chol yetzer machsheves libay rak ra kol hayem. That man is totally preoccupied with evil. This is why it's called Yetzer Hara. It's the nature in him, which in totality is evil. Now we have a Medrash Rabbo in Perek Tes of Bereishis, which states as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so we know he created it in 6 days. Each day he created a different part of the world. At the end, it states, Vayara Hashem is kol asher osa. V'hinei tov mi'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything that he did, and he said, tov mi'od. Every day, he said it was tov. It was good. Vayara Hashem. He saw what he did, and it was tov. But after he finished the 6 days of creation, so it says, the Torah tells us, Vayara Hashem es kol asher osa v'hinei tov mi'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything he did, and it was tov mi'od, it was very, very good. The Medrash tells us on that, what does it mean, tov mi'od? Hinei tov, ze yetzer tov. Tov represents the yetzer tov. Tov mi'od, ze yetzer ra. This represents the yetzer ra. This is wondrous. We can understand why Tov should represent the Yetzer Tov, but why should Tov Mi'od represent the Yetzer Ra? The Yetzer Ra, Tov Mi'od, so the Medrash asks, is the Yetzer Ra that was given to the person, is that Tov Mi'od very good, small? And the Medrash answers, Ela she'ilu le Yetzer Hara, le bono odem bais, vele nosu isha, vele holid. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give a person the Yetzer Hara, then a person would not have the ambition to build a house. He'd live like a hermit. He wouldn't have the ambition to get married. Why do I have to get married? The Gemara says, Rechayim al Tzavoroi. You're putting a millstone on your shoulders. I live the life of a bachelor. And finished. Leholid, why do I have to have the great burden of a family? Leinosavanosan, what do I have to go into business for? Vechein Shlomo Omar, King Solomon said, Ki hikinas ishmerehu. He looked at the world and he says, the world runs on jealousy. What drives the world? It's jealousy, one from the other. Take that away, you will take the power, driving power, away from the car. And it will stay in one place. Go to the stock market, you'll see. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu needs a big, giant shopping mall. Otherwise, people won't have places to buy anything. So what does he do? He puts an ambition, a kino, a jealousy into an individual person. Who wants to become the giants of all of the shopping malls in the world. And now that person is prepared to give his life to build shopping malls. Meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got what he wants. If not for that, the person would say, well, son, I'm crazy. What do I need that for? I can open a little grocery store on the corner and I'll make enough of myself. Have to become the wealthiest man in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted computers in the world. So he puts an idea into Bill Gates, where he is going to sacrifice his whole life for computers, because he wants to become the wealthiest man in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu achieved computers for the world. What would happen without the Yetzer Hara? Forget about the computers. We'd still be in the Stone Age. The same thing, a person. Why does he have beautiful homes? Why does he? What drives people to have families and to marry and everything else? So Shlomo HaMelech saw, he says, I have looked at the world and I see ki hikinas ish merehu. The whole world is driven by kino, where one wants more than the other. They always said greed is what drives the stock market. One wants more than the other. One wants to become greater than the other. Take that away, the world would come to a standstill. So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he saw it was an excellent world. It was beautiful. So therefore, Tov, Zeh Yetzer Tov. That's the strive for nobility, the strive for integrity, the strive for righteousness and justice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the world is not going to run on that alone. It's going to need something else also. Therefore told me, Od, Zeh Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara will drive the world. Now, the Chazal always referred to the Yetzer Hara as the Seor Shebi Iso, the sourdough in the dough. What did they mean by that? How do we answer these two apparent contradictions, where the sages tell us that the Yetzer Hara is kulara, it's in entirety it's evil, and the Medrash is telling us that without the Yetzer Hara there wouldn't be a world, there would be no goodness coming from the world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was tov me'od. So the moral is very simple. It depends if we look at the Yetzer Hara from an isolated perspective, or we look at the Yetzer Hara in its rightful place in the creation of the world. When we look at the Yetzer Hara from an isolated perspective, then it's kulara, it's the force of evil. But when we look at it in its proper place in the world, then it's what drives the world and makes it go. And therefore, good can come from the world. Because without that, there would be no civilization where any good would come from it. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu only said that Tov Me'od, at the end of the creation, after he created everything, then he said that the Yetzer Tov is Tov, and the Yetzer Ah is Tov Me'od, is very good. But at the beginning of the creation, he didn't say that. Because isolated alone, then it's kulara, it's entirely evil. But in its place, in the organization, in the order of creation, there can be nothing better. Because it will drive the world to ultimate goodness if it's used properly. Now this is why the sages always referred to the Yetzer Hara as the Seor Shebi Iso, the sourdough in the dough. Why? The sourdough by itself is poison. The Gemara brings, it's not edible, it's not even edible to an animal. It has so much acidity in it. There's nothing, you can't eat it. So alone, it's worthless. But if it's used in the Esau, in the dough, then it makes beautiful bread. So it's the Yetzer Hara that's creating the chometz, making the bread. And bread is a wonderful, is a great bracha. Bread is what we eat. It's the staff of life. But that's when the Yetzer Hara is used in its proper place together with everything else. But take it out and look at it from an isolated perspective, then it's kulara. It's full of acid. We can't do anything with it. We have to be marked. We have to distance ourselves. In general, matzah represents something that is very distant from the Yetzer Hara at all. It has no chometz in it. And it's even very distant from the order of the civilization. The chometz represents a mixture of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. because the grain and the flour and the water, that's not evil. That'll create matzah. But if you put the so'or in there, the evil in there, then it'll create bread. That represents more the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. While matzah represents something which is almost nivdol, almost totally separate from this world, because it doesn't have this order should be Isa in it at all. Now, we would say that actually, if we look at the Yetzirah by itself, and we look at the Torah by itself, so we would say that there's no link between the two, because they're really opposites. We said that the Yetzirah is called Ra, Yetzirah, Machsheves Ra, Rak Machsheves Ra Kol Hayom, and the Torah is called Tov. Kilekach Tov Nosati Lochem Torosi Al Tazevu. Afila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korei Tev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave Torah to Israel, he said, I'm giving you something good. He called it Tov. So we would say that they're totally an antithesis to each other. And this is true. One by itself is totally evil and the other is totally good. But there is a great link between the two. A number of reasons. Firstly, it was because that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create a world the way he did. He wanted a world driven by a force, driven by a force that would drive human beings. And therefore he created the Yetzer Hara for this world. It was because of that which caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the Torah. Because had he not created the Torah, then the Yetzer Hara would have destroyed the world. Had he chosen not to create the Yetzer Hara, then we wouldn't have needed the Torah. But because he chose to make a world like he did make, driven by the Yetzer Hara, then now this caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the Torah. Otherwise the Yetzer Hara would have gone totally out of hand and it would have destroyed the world. And this we see from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Omid Beis. The Gemara says that only the Torah can control the Yetzer Hara. Tana Rabbanan, v'samtem sam tam, nimshle tere kesam chayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the Torah that was like a drug of life to control the Yetzer Hara. Moshal Adam shehikas b'nai makah g'dayla. An example of a person, shehukas b'nai, his son had a bad injury. V'niach leiriti al makosoi. And he placed, the father placed a medical bandage on the injury. V'omer lebeni, and he said, my son, kozman shediti azu al makoscho, as long as this medical bandage is on the injury, you can eat what you want, you can drink what you want, you can bathe in hot water or cold water. You don't have to worry. But if you take the bandage off, oh, he says, then you got to be very, very careful that it shouldn't become infected. You got to be careful what you eat and what you drink and how you bathe. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar Lehem LiYisrael. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Israel, Borosi Yetzer Hara, I created the Yetzer Hara, Borosi Leiteira Tavlin, and I created the Torah, that the Torah would be like a spice that would control the Yetzer Hara. Im atem eiskim b'Torah, if you learn Torah, ein atem nimsorim b'yodei, then you won't have to worry about the Yetzer Hara. Im ein atem eiskim b'Torah, but if you do not learn Torah, atem nimsorim b'yodei, you will be at his mercy. V'le'od,
But and not only that, shekol ma'asoy umat me'ikach, shenema ve'ilecha tishukosoy, v'matoreitz ato me'ishel boy, shenema v'atotim shel boy. Not only that, but his whole entire preoccupation is to destroy you. But atem tim shel boy, but you can rule over him. How? If you learn Torah, and you're constantly with the Torah, then you don't have to worry about the Yetzirah. But if not, then you fall into his hands. Then the Gemara carries on and so forth and so on. But then the Gemara says, Gemara tells us how the Yetzirah wants to destroy the person totally, it wants to kill him. We see it drives people to death. It'll tell a person, this drug is a minor drug, won't harm you, just try it a bit. He tries it a bit, it was good. Entices him to take another drug and a stronger drug, and before you know it, the person is in some hospital for drug addicts, and so on and so on. Then the Torah tells us, Tana de Yishmael, Bini im poga boch menuvel zeh. What happens if a person feels that the Yetzer Hara is taking a hold of him? Mashkeh lebeis hamedrash. Take him into the beis hamedrash. Because if you take him into the beis hamedrash and you learn with him, if he's like a stone, you will break him. If he's like another type of stone, you will melt him, and so forth. So bring him into the beis hamedrash. Now, what is the Gemara telling us? Borosi yetzohara, borosi leiteira tavlin. Had there been no yetzohara in the world, then you wouldn't have to worry. So I wouldn't need the Torah. But now that I created a yetzohara, what's going to control the yetzohara? Only the Torah. And therefore I created the Torah. In other words, we said, the Kodesh Baruch Hu had a predicament. He wanted to create a beautiful, perfect world. He saw that if he would create a world without kina, without greed, without sina, without hatred, without taiva, without desires, without all of these human forces, then he wouldn't have a beautiful world. There'd be no evil in the world, but there would be not much of a world. Nobody would bother get married. Nobody would bother building anything. Yeah, you would still be in the era of the caveman. So he had to put a ra into the world, like Shlomo HaMelech said, that I've seen everything and it's all kinas ish me'reiru. Why is this world being driven? Because of greed. So then HaKadosh Baruch had another problem. The Yetzer Hara is such a force. It's going to come and put so much greed and so much sina, and so much of everything in the world, destroy my world. So what can I do? So therefore he said, Barasi Yetzohara, Barasi Torah Tablet. I'll have to do two things. I must have the Yetzohara in the world. So that's Tov Mi'od. It's the Yetzohara. But I have to have the Torah in the world to control it. Because otherwise it'll become uncontrollable. A person has to have his greed. The Rambam writes, he says, if all of these midas tovus, that of humility, that of lack of anger, that of lack of greed, and so forth, are good midas, and all of the other ones are evil midas, so then a person should say that I will go to the extreme to distance myself from Hasina, Bahakovit, Bahataiva, and so forth and so on. So Rambam says, no, because then you'll end up being a hermit. He says, or you'll end up being like the Kahane Eid Amedizora, like the Kahanim, the priests of the idolaters, the monks that live in the mountains. He says, they won't marry, they won't build houses, they won't engage in any interaction with society. They will not engage in commerce. They will not create professionals. In other words, they will remove themselves from society. A society is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built. So the Rambam says, therefore, a person has to take from both. What is he saying? He's saying like what the Gemara is saying here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to instill these forces in the world. But now he had to instill something that will control them. So this was the Torah. So even though both are contrary, they're very linked together, because it was the Yetzer Hara which caused the Torah to be created. That's one principle. The second principle is if not for the Yetzer Hara, then we wouldn't have the Torah, because the Torah was given to us for Schar Mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you my mitzvahs in order that you can have reward. And it says, Hayem la'aseisem u'mocha le'kabel schar. In this world, you'll have the opportunity to gain the reward, but you'll not get the reward. In the next world, you'll have the reward, but not the opportunity to gain the reward. Why is that? Because in this world, there'll be a Yetzer Hara. There'll be a force against you doing good. Therefore, when you do good, I have to reward you. The next world, there won't be a Yetzer Hara, so I can't reward you when you do good. So the whole principle of mitzvahs is brought into this world because of the Yetzer Hara. So not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create the Torah because of the Yetzer Hara, but it's because of the Yetzer Hara, Torah was brought in. And even more, if not for the Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have kept the Torah in the Elyonim. He would have given it to the Malachim, to the angels. He would have kept it up there. It wouldn't have come down here. And why do we say that? The Gemara tells us in Perek Omer de Rabbi Akiva, this is the, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis, this is the Perek which deals with Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And it states, Omer Bishua ben Levi, Bishua she'ola Meisha lamorim, when Meisha went up on high to receive the Torah, Omru Malachi Ashoris Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the angels came to Hashem, and they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Ma le'yilud isha beinenu, what is a person who's born from a woman doing amongst us here in the heights? Omer lehen lekabel Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, and Moshe came up to receive the Torah. Bo, Omer lefonav, so the angel said, Chamuda genuza, your greatest treasure, shegonzuha, that you have concealed for Tesha Meos Vishivim Ba'arba Deiris for 974 generations, Kodim Shenivra Eilam, from before the creation of the world. The Torah was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. We don't have time to go into it, but if you are interested, you look in Rashi. Rashi explains why. So the Torah was created 974 generations before the creation of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kept it concealed. And Atah mevakesh litna lebosar v'dam, and now you want to give it to someone of human flesh? Ma enosh kisifkedeno ven adam kisifkedeno kisifkedeno. What is man? What is man? Man is a person who's full of faults. He's full of kino, he's full of envy, he's full of time, he's full of desires, he's full of greed, he's full of anger, he's full of hatred. This is what you're giving your Torah to. Hashem Adonenu ma'adir shimcho b'chol oretz, asher t'no haitcho al ha'shamayim. You who are the masters of all masters, you should put your glory in the heavens, not in the earth. So the angels demanded that the Torah remains in the heavens. How can you take your Torah and give it to humans? Moshe didn't know what to say to them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, answer them. Moshe said, I'm afraid to talk to them because they're liable to consume me in the fires of the fire which comes out of their mouths. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take hold of my holy throne and then answer them. And that's what it states, Maches Pnei Kisai, Pashes Olav Anonai. Malamet Shepirish Sadem Iziv Shkinosei V'Anonai Olav. Moshe took hold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him with his cloud of glory, and now Moshe was able to have a dialogue and debate with the angels. Omer Afon of Ribbeinu Shaleinam Teresh Atoneisen Limaksiv Boch. So Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah that you're giving to us, what is written in it? States, Anechi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God that has taken you out of Egypt. Omer Lehem, Lohem. So Moshe said to the angels, LeMitzrayim Yeradetem, LePari Yishtabaretem, Torah Lometehe, Lohem. Did you go down to Egypt? Were you enslaved to Pari? What do you need the Torah for? The Torah is a commandment that we should recognize Hashem who has taken us out of Egypt. He hasn't taken you out of Egypt. Maksibo, what else? Shuv Maksibo, what else is written in it? You shall not have other gods. So Moshe had the angels. Do you dwell amongst nations who are idolaters? You need a command that you should not have other gods? You dwell right here with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean you shouldn't have other gods? Shuv Maksibo, what else is written in it? Zocher Hashem HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. Remember Shabbos to sanctify it. So he asked the angels, Atem Eisim Malochesh, Atem Srichim Shvus. Do you do work all during the week that you have to rest on the seventh day? You don't do that. What do you need the Torah for? Shuv Maksibo, what else is written? Leisiso Masu Matan. Leisiso, you shall not take my name in vain. You shall not swear falsely. Masu Matan Yesh B'neim. Do you do business and commerce with each other where you have to take promises, you have to make promises, and you have to take oaths, and there's a fear that you might use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain? What else is written? Kaber es avicha ves imecho. You shall honor your father and mother. Aveim yesh lachem. Do you have fathers and mothers? Shuv maksibach. What else is written? Leitirtzach, leitinof, leisignaif. That you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. He says, "Kine yesh b'neichem? Do you have greed between you? Yetzahara yesh b'neichem? In general, you don't have the yetzahara in general between you? Miyad, hold the leila kodesh baruch hu. The angels conceded to Hashem, and they said, Hashem Adonenu ma'adir shimcho v'ilu tano heidcho l'ashamayim leksi. They said, all right. Give your honor, your glory to these people. And each one became a very good friend of Moshe, and each one gave Moshe a matono, a gift. What do we see? He said, Yetzohara b'neichem. Do you have the Yetzohara? In other words, the Yetzohara was the Gerim. The Yetzohara was what caused us to get the Torah. You don't have the Yetzohara, therefore you don't get the Torah. We have the Yetzohara, so therefore we do get the Torah. So we see that if not for the Yetzohara, then the Torah would have remained on high. So even though the Yetzohara is kulara, it's total evil, and the Torah is totally good, that's all isolated. But if you put them together in the Seder Habriya, in the order of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, then you get a universe of perfection. A universe of perfection like the Soar Shebi Isra. Like if you take the sourdough, which is totally rotten and unedible, because actually it goes through a process of rotting through acidity. And you take, the dough without the sour, And what do you get? Matzah. You don't get lechem, you don't get chometz, you don't get good bread, you get matzah. But if you put the two together, then you get the perfection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in this world. So this is what we see from these cases. Now, but when is this? When do you get the perfection together with the Yetzirah? This is only through Madreges HaTorah, through the level of Torah. Borasi Yetzirah, Borasi Torah Tavlin. Without the level of Torah, then you get churban. You get destruction, like we see today in the world, because the force of evil will run wild. When Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, they hadn't come to the level of Torah yet. There was a geula, a redemption from Paray. They became free men. They saw all of the nisim and niflois, the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the first step towards the level of Torah. But they had not come to the level of Torah yet. Because I'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 50 sha'orim, 50 gates. Each gate goes into a different level. And the Shara Hamishim, the 50th gate, is the Shara Torah. That's where the Torah is, the highest level. And they were not at that Sha'ar, at that gate yet. That was to come 50 days later. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, count 7 weeks, 7 days, 7 weeks, B'yema Hamishim, and then on the 50th day, I will give you the Torah. And at first they brought the barley crop. The barley crop is actually very good for the physical body of the person. Actually, the barley crop is basically a meichel behema. It's what you feed animals, where it's more physical. The wheat crop was a more sophisticated crop for man in its total intellect. But at any rate, they hadn't come to Madrigas HaTorah. If they hadn't come to the level of Torah yet, they had to distance themselves very much from the Keach HaRa, from the force of evil, from the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisechal kol chometz, Leisechal kol seor. Keep yourself away from the chometz and from the sourdough. Don't come close to the Yetzer Hara. The same thing, when we bring all of the korbanos, the sacrifices, were not brought at the level of Torah. Each one was brought at a specific level. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I don't want any chometz near the Mizbeach. Leisarchiku. Lesikrabu. Do not bring any chometz or seor near the Mizbeach. Because you cannot have chometz or seor unless you have Torah with it. Borosi Yetzohara, Borosi Torah Tavlin. Then you'll have a wonderful world. But otherwise you'll have churban. When it came to Shavuos, they came to the 50th level. Shavuos was the Chag of the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah from the Elyonim L'Tachtonim, from the higher levels to this world. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you came to the level of Torah. He said, B'ni, my son, you have a very, very bad injury. You have to be careful what you eat, what you drink, what you do. But if you keep this medical bandage on you then you don't have to worry. You can eat what you want and you can drink what you want because the Torah will lead you in the right way. So then there wasn't necessary anymore to be Mizrachik. Not only it wasn't necessary, but it's wrong. Because otherwise you end up, like the Medrash says, without Tov Me'od, Ein Adam Nasi Isha, Ein Adam Me'lid Bonim, no one will get married, no one will have children, no one will engage in commerce. So therefore we have to bring the Yetzer Hara into the lives of the people with the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, then you must bring close the Seor and the Chometz. And that was in the wheat offering on Shavuos. And this was also true by the Korban Todah. Why by the Korban Todah? Because the Korban Todah represented the Sholem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ala kol. As we mentioned, that four people brought the Korban Todah. And this encompassed all of the basic forces of the world, the force of the sea, and the forces of the desert, and the force of disease, and the force of men. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ala kol. We give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his entire creation. We can't give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his entire creation, on the perfection of the creation, and leave the Yetzer Hara out of it. Otherwise we'll be lacking Vayare Hashem es kol asher oso. He told me, oh, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw his whole creation and he said, it's very good. We have to bring the Yetzer Hara into that. Therefore, when the Korban Todah was brought, so it was brought with Chometz also. That's why the Gemara says, it uses a very strange language. It says, impoga menuvel zeh, that if a person feels that he's becoming overcome by the Yetzer Hara, moshkehu lebeis HaMedrash, he should bring it into the Beis HaMedrash. Everybody asks the question. It should say that you should conquer it, or learn Torah and you'll conquer it. Who needs him in the Beis HaMedrash? It says, moshkehu lebeis HaMedrash, we should drive him out of the Beis HaMedrash. So the answer is no, we need him in the Beis HaMedrash. See, we need him. Because that also drives a person to Torah. We take Shalei Lishma, Bo Lishma, the Gemara says. How do you start a child to learn? You don't tell a child, learn and you'll become great and learn and you'll understand the wisdom of the Torah. No. You tell them, learn and I'll give you an apple, I'll give you a chocolate. If you can say this over to me by heart, or if you can read over the Gemara, I'll give you 50 rand. We take Shalei Lishma, Bo Lishma. There was once the story of the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in Vilna, where actually I've mentioned the story many times. This story I heard from the late Rav Goldwicht, Zichrono Livracha. This was the founder of the Yavni Yeshiva, Kerem Yavna, where he told me he heard it from Rafutna Zichayim Baruch Chaim Berlin Rosh Yeshiva, who heard it from the Rebbetzin of Rabitzel Petterberger. Rabitzel Petterberger was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So there was once a time when came Elul. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had a lot of Talmidim that were Balei Musar. They were very, very serious. And they said, Elul, what we have to do is learn day and night and not be disturbed with anything else, even mitzvahs. See. So what we have to do is find ourselves a Beis HaMedrash somewhere in the corner of Vilna where nobody knows where we are, and there we can learn undisturbed. So they did that. And they said, there we'll be able to devote all of our energies to learning Lishma, learning only for the sake of Torah. And we'll do that for 30 days in Elul. So a group went. Rabbi Yisrael heard about it. So he said, I'd like to go visit and see how they're doing. So he went to visit. When he came back, they asked him, what did you see? He said, Lishma ich gesehen, Torah ich nicht gesehen. Lishma I saw, Torah I didn't see. In other words, learning Lishma they were. If you could call it Torah though, he says, I don't know. Because the Torah also has to be mixed with the human forces of man. See, with the human forces of man. Man was given many, many drives. If you take all of those drives out of man, then he ends up to be what we would call a vegetable that should be in some asylum. And he's not going to learn Torah there. On the other hand, if he lets his forces direct him, well then who knows what he can do. So what does he have to do? He has to take all of those forces and put them all into Torah, then you'll see Torah. That's the Seor Shebe'isa. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how he created the world. What they had done is that they had taken all of the forces out of Torah. So there he said, look, I saw L'shem Shemayim, but I didn't see Torah. And that's what it means, Impoga b'menuvel zeh, that if you feel that this menuvel, this evil force is attacking you, don't run away from him. Don't try to overcome him. Mashkeo le'beis ha-medrash, bring him into the beis ha-medrash. And with him learn. And then you'll be able to learn. So this explains to us why we find by the Korban Todah chometz was brought, even though it wasn't burnt on the altar, it was brought together with the sacrifice, even though the Torah already always distanced the chometz from the altar. And one other time also, and this was by the Korban, the sacrifice that was brought on Shavuos, the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves. And this gives us an understanding into the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with this Yetzer Hara and with the Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.